close and personal. But these four living creatures. Wait a minute. One other thing. Jesus was risen up out of their sight in Acts chapter 1. And the Bible says a cloud caught him out of his sight. And we noted back when we went through Acts that it was probably him just stepping back up on top of his throne because it was his throne. And when he was caught, a cloud caught him out of his sight, out of their sight. The Bible says, why do you stand here looking up? The same Jesus whom you've seen go shall so come in like manner. As you've seen him go, he's going to come with the clouds. That's what God does. He rideth upon the clouds. He sitteth upon the clouds. The Bible says it over and over again. We, taking Scripture, begin to see this is how God is. A throne sitter. Now he has 24 thrones, and the Bible says these four living ones. The Bible says of them, it says that they were four beasts or four living ones full of eyes before and behind. Ezekiel said they had eyes all over their arms, all around their head, and the picture is that of omniscience. See, these guys are reflectors. What they do is they basically reflect to anyone who sees them the attributes of God. And the eyes reflect His omniscience, means He knows everything, and His omnipresence, because there's nothing hidden from the eyes of the Lord. And they show that. But not only do they show that, the Bible says in verse 7, in the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast like the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now there are four in number, and all of them express a part of God's manifest relationship with mankind. God's manifest relationship with mankind. If you were to go back to the four Gospels, you would find that each one of them coincides with these four faces. When God on His throne manifests Himself to man, we see the four faces. And they all have a direct relationship to how God has related to us. First of all, the lion. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the king. The king of the jungle is the lion. Matthew's Gospel, King Jesus. He shows forth Jesus as king. Gives a lineage back to David, says he's got the rightful place on the throne. Matthew's Gospel, the king. Mark's Gospel, there is no lineage because what he's there is he's answering to the ox. An ox was the number one most important animal you could have in your household because it took care of pulling a plow, it took care of giving milk, it took care of giving meat. It was also a good lawnmower if you needed one. So it was all good. So the ox was the servant, and Jesus in the book of Mark is the servant Savior. The key word to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is the word immediately or straightway, because he would go from one thing to another thing to another thing, and he was just a servant. Spending and being spent. A servant, poor, having nowhere to lay his head. For you know the grace of God, how that he who was rich became poor for your sake, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. Matthew, the king, the lion. Mark, the ox, the servant. Then you have the man, the face of the man. Of course, Luke was a physician. Makes sense. He's going to emphasize Jesus' humanity. It is Luke who tells us about Jesus in his humanity, gives us the lineage of Jesus, not to David, but all the way back. All the way back to Adam. Because a perfect man must have a genealogy. He also tells us all about things in a very graphic, physical manner. We see Jesus in stark reality with words that only a physician would use about blood and bone and flesh about Jesus when he resurrected and displayed himself as flesh and bone. We see Jesus demonstrated as the perfect man. And then finally, this flying eagle in verse 7. Is a picture of the fact that an eagle is far above everything, a most majestic bird, and he typifies the fact that God is God, deity. John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Okay, he's God, and he told us that. Very clearly, John told us in John chapter 1, and he is set forth as deity. Has no genealogy there either, because God has no beginning of days or end of life. So what we're seeing is these four living creatures have a thread that's been knit through the Scriptures. We see them in Isaiah having six wings. And the Bible says here in the verse 8, and the four beasts each had six wings. You see, and in Isaiah we were told what those wings were for. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, And with two they did. By the way, these seraphim, awesome as they are, these living ones, awesome as they are, cover their feet because they can't stand in His presence, were sitting in thrones, around the throne. You want to think what big deal you are? Folks, listen, if you could just see yourself as God sees you, if you could just see who He has made you, it would revolutionize your life. If we would just see, even these four living creatures who've been crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Look what it says, verse 8. They rest not, dare not. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So who is the throne sitter? We haven't been describing Him. We just said He's one sitting. He's got jasper. He's got the sardius. He's got the emerald. Jump back to chapter 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Behold, He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and also, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Even so, amen. Who's coming? "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Here it is. "Which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." What does it say? Holy, verse 8, chapter 4. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. You want to know who the throne sitter is? He just told you. It's King Jesus. He's God Almighty. This is the revelation of Jesus. Allow not yourself to be fixated on Christ in His in his humanity and in His humiliation. Realize He's a real God, a real person with real wounds, sitting on a real throne, in a real place, in a real heaven. One day, you will really be with Him. Wow! And these guys are saying over and over and over, just to make it known, "Holy, there's nobody like You. Holy, there's nobody like You. Holy," and they're awed and they're awesome. Now, when somebody's awesome and they're awed, that's pretty cool. Now, you take a LeBron James and put him up to a Michael Jordan, they'd be awed by each other in some sense. But these things are so overwhelmingly awed, they reflect His attributes, they repeat His praise, and the Bible says in verse 9, I like this, by the way, verse 8 does say, "and is to come." You know, He's coming. The Hebrews tells us, "He who will come shall come, and He will not tarry." Folks, we are only here for a short span. Don't let the world crowd out the fact that you have a relationship with the God of the universe. Verse 9 says, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne." Thanks! I thought that was interesting. They give thanks. And the reason they give thanks is just for being there. When was the last time you thanked God for just letting you be in His family? When you just thank God, "Thank You, God, for just letting me be in the church. Thank You for God talking to me and bringing me out of darkness and into light. Thank You, God, for translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Your dear Son. Thank You." That they're there and they're just thanking Him in their praise. And the Bible says when they thanked Him and did all this praising and gave Him honor and glory to Him that sat on the throne, which we determined is Jesus, who lives forever and ever. And that's a theme you'll see over and over again. He lives forever and ever because the world thinks He's gone and He's not watching. He sees everything, but He lives forever and ever. Hebrews says He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. That's who He is. Verse 10 says the 24 elders, that's us. What do they do? The 24 elders, they fall down before Him, and Him that sat on the throne, and they worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. Remember they had the Stephanus. They cast their crown before His throne because they could not have won any victor's crown were it not for Him. They would have had no standing. They would have had no start. They would have had no journey to speak of. He gave them the foundation. He gave them the blessing. He gave them the wherewithal and the riches and the wind and the spirit and the heart to get up and go. The righteous falls seven times but rises again. Why? Because He gives us the wherewithal to do that. When you mess up, don't give up. Get up and go back because He says, "Listen, I am with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will not cast any who comes to me out." He says, I am with you. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He says of us that we are His workmanship. We are His poem. We are His masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You get on task with God and you will be a lot like these living creatures, because all they do is just sit there breathing in God's will. And they reflect everywhere. When He says, go here, they go there. When He says, go here, they go there. You look at it in Ezekiel chapter 1 and you'll see. They were so lit up and they were so thankful to be able to be lit up that they just couldn't say enough. So over and over again, holy, holy. And when the 24 elders who are getting in on their 2 weeks course, you know, of sitting in His presence, man, when they hear those guys let loose, they say, well, we can do them one better. Woo! And they just fall on their faces. And the Bible says they worship, and the Greek word is proskuneo. They just puppy dog toward God. They're just all about God. They're just all about what? Jesus, the Almighty, the One who is, who was, and who is to come. Beloved, they were all about Him. And the Bible says, what do they say of Him? They say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Look at this. For You have created all things. John chapter 1, nothing was made that was made except that He made it. And the Bible says, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, what they're doing in chapter 4 is they are praising in the throne room Jesus as the Creator. In chapter 5, they're going to praise Jesus as the Redeemer. Let your eye fall down, if you would, into the chapter of 5 here just a little bit to get a glimpse, because these 24 elders also praise God again. In verse 12 it says, they said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that is slain. And it says, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb. Verse 13, every creature is in heaven and in the sea. And they say, blessing and honor, I will. I'm looking for a verse where He says, you have redeemed us. Verse 9, Thou art worthy to take the book, for Thou and open the seals, for Thou hast slain and hast redeemed us. Now this is the 24 elders saying, You have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And You have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign forever and ever. The point I'm trying to make is another point to be had when we're figuring out who these 24 elders are, is they're falling on their faces and they say, You've redeemed us. We're the redeemed. They're falling on their faces. You've redeemed us from every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. They're saying, You've redeemed us by what? By Your blood, you see. And they're praising God. And not only that, they're saying, You made us kings, thrones, and crowns. You've made us priests, white raiment. You see, these guys are clearly you and me. What do you have to look forward to? For some of us, we're in life and we're saying, man, I'm about as peaked out as I'm going to get. It's not going to get any better than this. And we're going to think, man, it's kind of bummer. You know, I'm kind of, you know, bummed. You know, I wish life would have turned out the way I would have liked it to. I wish things would have been different. Man, if I'd made this decision or that decision, or we wasted this time or made that. Listen to me. There is nothing like what you have to look forward to. You have every reason in the world to be excited about the prospects, because you're going to sit in the throne room of God. You're going to see Him face to face. You're going to be like Him, and you're going to rule and you're going to reign with Him forever. You are children of the kingdom. Wow. Beloved, you and I have an awesome, awesome God. Christ is revealed as the throne sitter. He's revealed as the Creator. And He's revealed as the sustainer, therefore. The Bible says it is in Him that we live and move and have our being. The Bible tells us elsewhere that He upholds all things by the word of His power. The Bible says He is the physical manifestation of the invisible God. That in Him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you see Jesus, do not look beyond Him to other things. Look and look deeply, because Jesus is the end-all, be-all of it all. He is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He is Almighty God. And He is the one that you will stand before. You will either be clothed in His righteousness, or you will cower in His presence. I am not foolish enough to think everyone in the room today is saved. I don't think that. Somebody in here is not saved. And if you're not saved, this is the one you're going to have to stand before. This is the one who you're going to give an account to. And we're going to see all about that in chapter 20 and 19 when he comes, and thrones will be set in chapter 20. And the Bible says that a throne was set and all the heavens and the earth are going to fall away from it. And the dead in the sea and the dead in death and hell, and everything's going to stand up and stand before the throne of God. And the throne sitter we find here is going to be the throne sitter that will be there. And that throne sitter will be the one who will judge you. And you will either be cast into an eternity of a godless eternal hell where there will be pain and gnashing teeth and fear and futility. There will be no end. No end. No end. I say it because it needs to be said. We need to know there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And Jesus made heaven possible by letting His blood be shed in your behalf and in mine. Can I get an amen? It's what it is. He died for us. He took our punishment. Did you deserve it? Yeah, you did. But He said, take me. Because He loves that much. And He took your hell. And anybody who walks away from that offer of come unto me, all you that weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Anybody who walks away from that hazards their own soul. Does it to their own peril. Would you bow with me for a moment? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We see the throne sitter with many things coming around the corner. Behold a son, the son of my right hand. He is the awesome God. And He spoke to you today. Beloved, today, maybe you've been laying down. Maybe you've allowed yourself to become so earthbound. And I know that's so easy. But God reminded you, you need to get back in the race. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, laying aside every weight and the sin. Let's go for the victor's crown. Beloved, today, maybe God spoke to you about getting back on track because there's a king to represent. You're an ambassador. And you've not been ambassadoring. You've been living for self. But this morning God spoke to you, you know, I'm going to be dead a lot longer than I'm going to be alive. And I want to be, in that day, able to stand there in glory with the crown of righteousness that I took advantage of this foundation and I built with gold and silver and precious stones. And this morning you'd say, Pastor, God knows my heart. I know I'm saved, but man, I really do need to get back in the race. And God knows my heart. I'm just saying by an upraised hand, pray for me. And I'm saying to God, I hear your voice and I will follow you. Anybody else? God bless you. Up and down. Up and down. God bless you. God bless you. It's all about Him. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Up and down. You're just saying, I hear you, God. You're calling me out of the clouds and out of this little dark corner I'm in, and you'd say, pray for me. God bless you. I just want to walk in the light. Anybody else? Up and down. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, I'd have to say, I know God spoke to me today, but it wasn't about that. It was about being saved. Thunders and lightning claps and voices behind the curtain, as it were, kind of gives me a little bit of fear in my core because I know it's going to be a bad storm. But this morning God spoke to you and you'd say, pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure I'm saved. I won't call your name, but would you let me pray for you? Because God spoke to you. He said, you know, you're not really saved. You know that. You're not really it. You'd say, pray for me, Pastor. I won't call your name, but would you let me pray for you? Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. Up and down. God spoke to you. How condescending is our God? He spoke to you. Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. Let's stand for prayer, shall we? Our Father, we thank You this day for Your Word. What an awesome God You are. Forgive us for the cloudiness of our hearts and minds. Father, we miss it. We miss so much because we fail to see You with clear eyes, undistracted hearts. I pray this morning for each one who raised their hand and said, you know, I really need to get back in the race. I really do need to lay aside weights and sins. I really do need to follow God and build with good materials like gold, silver, and precious stones. I pray that all of us, Father, would be impelled to this race to realize we represent the awesome God, the throne sitter, the creator and sustainer of the universe. And I pray we would never be ashamed of you, because you, hanging naked on the cross, were not ashamed of us to bear our shame. We thank you, God, that you took that upon yourself and that you gave us a perfect salvation. This world has nothing else like it anywhere in the world. Thank you for dying for us, for rising from the dead to prove it was paid in full. Thank you for ascending and taking your throne back. And thank you that one day you're going to take this old world back. Help us, Father, to be anticipating it. And may we who have this hope in us purify ourselves even as He is pure. We make this prayer in Jesus' name.